I am unashamed. What about you?
Welcome back to Unashamed. Y'all are in camouflage, so that must mean something.
Oh, yeah. Well, we went teal hunting this morning. Old Jay's struck. We weren't empty-handed. We got him.
You got him. Because they killed a few yesterday for a church.
Well, right? They did. This is the first time since I was about 8 years old that I missed opening day of teal season. So the government tried something new this year.
Which we argued about because somebody said teal season was over on Friday, and all of us said no. Never happened. It's not.
I said, you're wrong. And they said, oh, no, that's what it says. And I didn't look it up.
Nobody looked it up. We all just said, no, it starts on Sunday. Saturday and goes to the following Sunday.
That's the first time in 40 years they've done that.
Phil, that's the first time they've ever done that.
Or ever done that.
Yeah. They hadn't.
Dad can only go back 40 years now, Jess. That's his limit.
Well, I think I said it's the first time I missed opening day teal season. But I had to film, and it was a 12-hour day that was mapped out. And I thought, you know, if I go teal hunting and then go film for 12 hours, I'm going to be tired. And so I just wasn't convinced, since it's really dry in Louisiana and we have very little water and zero food. I said, I don't think it's going to happen. And it didn't. So they didn't fire a shot on opening day. So I thought, okay, so why would I come the next day, which was a Saturday? Because I had another 12-hour day, and we were getting our little one that we're kind of the, I guess, godparents of at this stage. So the one that we kept when he was a baby, we were getting him for the weekend, and I was like, filming, we have the baby. They didn't fire a shot, so I didn't go Saturday. Got it right again. They didn't fire a shot. So then I was off on Sunday.
Because there's always the FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
It's the strongest motivation for a lot of reasons. So then now Sunday I'm off. But we still have the little one. You know, we're going to go to church. And I thought I could go. Because teal only fly, for the most part, up until 8 in the morning. So it's a perfect system. You can go hunt till 7:30. You're not going to miss anything.
Yep.
And then meet with the brothers. But I just said, they didn't get them the first 2 days.
Oh.
This is the year they never came. Wrong. Yeah, it was a flight day. So today's Monday that we're filming this. So yesterday, they got them.
And, Dad, you were teaching, so you didn't go.
Fielding, he missed it.
He missed it.
Now, the only thing worse than what I did, my missing Sunday, is what Phil did. Phil did hunt the first 2 days, 2 goose eggs. Then the day they came, he missed.
I didn't miss because I was busy.
Well, you had a good reason. I'm not. You were teaching a class that's an hour earlier than the church service. So
he had a good excuse.
Yeah, I'm not
but
blaming you.
But still, did it hurt a little that you didn't go and then try it and then get in? Or
no.
So you're beyond FOMO.
No.
You don't have.
Well, said it didn't bother me, but you know, if they want to go shoot the devil's ducks, they're more than welcome.
Yeah, the thing was, preach the gospel on Good Sunday morning. You might see people from, and I looked up, and one guy was all the way from the Middle East.
Yeah, he was from Iran.
He did respond to the gospel. So
the man was from Iran. I heard the story. I didn't meet him yesterday.
Did he come with Larry Bowles?
He didn't, but I think they met. Larry's here today. We're going to get him on a little bit. We've also got a young couple here that was there yesterday, Seth and Kathleen, his wife, and a baby.
We have a studio audience. Yeah, I think this is the first time we've actually had a baby.
The first baby in the house.
From Wyoming, they said, I told them about your visit.
Yep.
And they were high impressed that y'all were at being over out there. And
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you were doing that, so you missed out. Stone told me he was on the hunt, but he had a couple of young bucks that hadn't hunted a lot, and so one of them tried to put 20-gauge shells in a 12-gauge gun, which doesn't work well. Basically, you create a bomb
in
your duck blind.
So they were that could have been bad. Yeah, so we were fortunate.
Would have been eyeballing those two very
well. Carefully. He had a stern talk afterwards, probably one he should have had prior, but
Yeah.
About gun safety and.
But they did really well. We missed the flight day, so we went back today because they came yesterday, and because there's usually some leftovers, but there was only one. So I will prepare and eat that duck tonight. Everybody else is out, you know.
One little green wee.
Yeah.
The best, by the way. Zach's here. Zach, so today for the listener is the 25th of September. So that means 3 days from the movie releasing, which we're getting close. Yeah. So tell folks what they need to do.
It's a little.
We're on movie watch scary. Now.
I've been working on this for, I guess 2.5 years now. So, yeah, we come out 3 days. I'd say get your tickets now. I was just looking, the big Taylor Swift. I know you guys are big Taylor Swift fans. Y'all probably went to the concert.
Well, Zach, I'm not really keeping up with the Taylor Swift goings and comings, but I'm glad you are.
Yeah, what does Taylor Swift have to do with any of this?
This is the first time she's ever been mentioned.
She in the movie
podcast?
She's not.
Did she do a cameo? No. Did we use one of her songs?
Taylor is a woman. I thought it was a man. Taylor, old Taylor. You know.
Yeah.
Boy, I keep up with all that stuff going on.
Taylor Swift. Dad said, "Who's he?"
Yeah.
Well, she did the concert thing that just blew up. Well, now they're taking the concert and they've turned it into a movie. But her fans are so rabid that 2 weeks after our film, they've basically kicked every other film out except for this. I mean, she'll be on every screen in every theater in America. So if you want to watch The Blind, you probably have about a 2-week window. I'd get your tickets now because it's going to be.
You're up against Taylor Swift. That's not who you want to be up against these days.
Yeah. So, but it comes out. You can go get get your tickets now. You can go to theblindmovie.com.
And so there's a sense of urgency now.
Sense of urgency.
Yeah, we got a sense of urgency.
Get out there, get them while you can. Probably today is a good day to do it. You can put in your location and it'll take you to all the theaters in your location if you go to theblindmovie.com. So check us out, and then we'd love to hear on social media what you think about the movie. Go to Rotten Tomatoes, tell us what you think, vote, do all that stuff, all the stuff that to get the message out.
I'm more concerned about the Rotten Tomatoes than I am Taylor Swift.
Explain that, Zach, because that sounds bad. Every time I've been Rotten Tomatoes, that's been a bad experience.
Hold on, let me get on the edge of my seat. Let's go to Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes for 20, Alex.
And report in. I want to know how to do that.
That's why this podcast is difficult. I'm trying to promote stuff, and y'all make it interesting. I'll say that.
In your promotion, you brought up Taylor Swift and Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes, they're a website that they rate movies, and it's kind of a place where people – so it's a good – advertisement. People go to Rotten Tomatoes to read the review. Now, typically, people like us are probably not going to get the best reviews from industry people. Okay, so there is that. But that's why when the audience showing up, the audience score is what we're concerned about. Is the audience?
So the Rotten Tomatoes score is from people that have seen something. So that's why it's important.
So they said, let's name a movie critic. Website, Rotten Tomatoes, and it actually worked.
I think it may come from the old, it just came to me. You know how they throw tomatoes and
like old bad fruit in the old medieval days? Okay.
Yeah, if the show wasn't good, then they throw stuff at you.
Opposite because I'm assuming if you get a high score on Rotten Tomatoes, that's good. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
you want a high score.
Rotten Tomatoes.
So I will tell you this though, that Ben Stewart, who's a very well-known pastor up in D.C., we sent him a screener, and someone sent me a little video of him preaching yesterday, and he talked about The Blind and just he went on and on about how really how brave Phil was to put his story out there. He said, they could have made this movie about anything. They could have made it about his success in the duck call business. They could have made this movie about the fame that was achieved during Duck Dynasty. He said, he was blown away. He said, but they made this film about the hardest parts of Phil and Kay's life. But on the other side of that is this incredible story of redemption. And he, I mean, he just raved about it. And everyone that's seen it so far has just been like brought to tears at how the, just the transformative power of Jesus as displayed in Phil and Kay's life. So, I mean, this really is a movie of hope. I think you guys are going to absolutely love it. I mean, it really turned out amazing. It's not Duck Dynasty. So if you think you're going to a Duck Dynasty show, it's not that. I mean, let me just tell you right now, it's not that. This is a raw, real story. And there's some humor in it, but this is a hard film to watch in some regard, but it's also, you know, hopeful. And that's pretty much all the feedback.
I'll give you a little shot here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, which is kind of what this movie's about. It's exactly what the movie's about. The new has come. All this is from God, who's reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. So I had many, and the movie shows a lot of them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation was at the heart of what this show was about. They're fixing to see the blind and everything that went on there. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, trying to, through this movie, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. What a statement. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's sort of what the guts and the nuts and bolts of the movie they'll see with me, and why I said it's kind of embarrassing, but you know what? If we win one, that's one more than we had.
No, that's very well said. That when I first went to Dad to talk about the movie, Zach, when you guys were contemplating, I thought something similar, except I used the
book. It's not the kind of information where one will hear about a movie about himself that he'll be jumping up and down and said, oh, yay, look at me.
No.
It's like, if you can look, if you can stay with it till the end, you'll find out there is a way out.
It's not a look how great I am. I compared it to the book of Romans. I told Dad, I said, Dad, Romans 4 through the end of the book would not be near as beautiful if you didn't read Romans 1 through 3. Yep. And so that really is, to me, the point of the film, is we can appreciate the goodness and greatness of God when we see the ugliness of who we are. And that's not just Dad, that's any of us, because we're all sinners.
Yeah, when I made the decision to kind of like press into the fall, it was because, you know, there's a biblical arc in pretty much the whole Bible of creation. I may have said this before on the podcast, it's creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, and you can also add to that glorification one day. But it's this idea that God created everything, and it was very good. Creation,
yep.
Fall, man fell. Genesis 3. Redemption, God paved the way through Jesus, and then restoration, God is progressively restoring us back to our original position in the garden. And I think one of the areas in film, particularly in Christian film, that I always wanted to see more of is we kind of try to whitewash the fall. We try to make it palatable. And, you know, this film is not that. We really wanted to, not in a glorifying way, wanted to show, you know, what sin really looks like.
Yeah, the reality.
What pain, what it looks like. And I think we were able to accomplish that. And that way, when you see that, like you said, Romans 3, you read Romans 3, then all of a sudden Romans 5 is a whole lot more.
That's exactly right.
Means a whole lot more while we were enemies, Christ died for the ungodly, understanding what that means in Romans 3, that all of sin falling short of God's glory. So, yeah, that's a great point, Al. That's what we tried to accomplish.
If one could ever grasp, because by one sacrifice, when Jesus died on a cross, by one sacrifice, that one, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
Love it.
Hebrews 10. In the spirit of Larry Bowles, we're over on our one.
That's segment. Right. So we're gonna take a break. We got LB in the house. He's chomping at the bits over here. He's had a big retreat this weekend. He got spider bit. He's got all kinds of stories. So we're gonna take a break. We're gonna bring in Larry and set him up, and we'll go from there. We'll see you on the other side. So teal season has arrived.
It's arrived.
Which means we're back in the blind.
I discharged my weapon once this morning.
Was it the only discharge of the morning?
Yes, and it was successful.
Well, there you go. Well, we had Stone was telling us a story of a little bit of an incident with some young hunters that he took because they didn't quite understand some issues about you got certain gauges that will hold only – you can only shoot the gauge of your –
Well, right now, if hunting season ends, I'm batting or shooting 1,000%.
Which is pretty good.
You did that in the major leagues, you would own.
But then they always have minimum. You got to have a little. You got to have a little more. But then you did
one for one. Now,
by the way, was that a green wing teal or
green wing teal? The reason I'm talking about how my shotgun functioned because we're doing an ad for a little company called Barrel Buddy.
That's right.
Which keeps your gun clean. So.
Which is the most, you know, for safety, but also for efficiency and effectiveness. And so these guys at Barrel Buddy, great company, great Christian guys that we love, they were sitting out in a muddy field and said, we need something, a better way to clean our gun. So they came up with these white polymers, which are excellent. They got them for every gauge, every pistol, every rifle. So whatever you're shooting, they've got a better way to clean it, to scrub it, to get all the particulates out of your barrel. So check these guys out, tis the season, as they say, for Barrel Buddy, B-A-R-R-E-L buddy.com, barrelbuddy.com. Check them out. So welcome back. We have, LB in the house.
Hey, how are you?
It's always the Oklahoma wind is blowing you right in.
It is. It's, yeah, that's one thing we got there. So
plenty of wind.
You were out of the country.
Well, I mean, sometimes. But, I'm here now.
So you're heading.
I'm not a holographic image.
You head out right next week. Are you going back over next week?
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, because I like to mention this, Larry's a regular on here, and most of you know him and love him like we do, but he does an amazing work. It's acrocenter.org is where you can find out about his work. But in Athens, and especially. Refugees that come from the Middle East, that's where a lot of
it's kind of the epicenter of what they call the refugee highway. So,
and a lot of people have asked about you, Larry. So, and we've talked about it before, you're a retired firefighter. It's not like you're a trained preacher or anything, right?
Common.
In fact, your wife says, don't call you a preacher.
Yeah, exactly. I can't do that. So,
although it's kind of like with dad, it's like, okay, you could say you're not, but let's face it, Larry, you're a pretty good preacher. So.
I actually went with Larry to Athens. What? We were there a couple weeks, I guess.
Yeah. No, you were there 5 days.
Five days.
It may have seemed like 2 weeks to you, but
it was
5 days.
No, but that's, he could not find. That's Jay's 5 days, it's 2 weeks.
He could not find iced tea anywhere, and he thought he was going to die, and I took him aside. I said, Jace, you're going to be okay. You're here for 5 days. You're going to make it. And he finally found some iced tea.
I found some iced tea, and I actually, Larry's been going over there for a decade, and it took me to find a place that you could actually eat and enjoy yourself.
Oh my.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Was it not?
We
got to get out of this city.
Yeah. What do you mean you found?
Well, I put my people on it. I said,
I think I drove you there. Yeah.
Think about after 3 days, I said, I either going to have to fast for the rest of it or we're going to have to find somewhere else to eat.
Yeah. He got a fish and the guy came out and laid this fish out and lifted that gill, and that's what
impressed me.
It was like a glitter finish on a bass boat. He was just like,
when we were on, they found up. I was wanting to get out of the city, and that we found a beach that had a restaurant, and it was very expensive. I think that's why they hadn't been there before. But I'm like, I'm buying if
it wasn't really a missionary place.
One kingdom was buying, he's like, yeah, I'll take that.
I was like, whatever we got to do. And so, where's the menu? And he brought out, like he said, I think it's like a piece of wood. And he had three fish on there. And
which is one thing I like about it over there. They'll show you, they give you the preview of what you're going they're going to cook for you.
I enjoyed the food when we went. Every place.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean,
there you go. There's a difference in garbage disposal humans when it comes to food.
Oh,
and people that have a palate for a reason.
He's a man.
Well, Zach, I think that was aimed at you.
Discerning taste, Jay said. Let me.
What did you think? Disposal palate.
Do you also eat? Do you also eat at potlucks on the Sunday potluck? Are you first in line?
No, I'm not first in line. I will do it to be nice.
Well, I'm not there.
I eat the stuff that I brought. I eat the stuff that I brought, and then that's how we. If I know you and I know you can cook, I'll put it on my plate.
Paul said to eat what is put in front of you. Don't raise questions.
He did say that.
Well, Taylor Swift said she wrote a song about potlucks. The name of it is "Why You Gotta Be So Mean."
Yeah, we're having a Taylor Swift game today.
Well, Taylor, no ketchup
in
this. I guess
that's
what they're
going
to write up as the tagline for this podcast. Taylor Swift
is the only Taylor Swift song that I ever heard that I liked. I thought that was pretty creative. It was not talking about potlucks, but I took some liberties there.
Maddie, will you reach out and see if you can get Taylor Swift to be on our podcast? We want her as a guest now.
So. I met Taylor Swift. Has anybody else here met her?
You met her?
I met and sat right beside her and had a conversation.
Wow.
Now, I'd love to tell you what we talked about, but I really wasn't following her.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just being honest.
Where were you at? When did this
happen?
At
some kind of award show. And
is that back when you did the CMAs back in the day? Probably.
It wasn't that one.
She used to be a country singer.
Well, what's weird is, you know, I was with my wife, and it was country artists there because I met a lot of country music singers that night. Got invited to go deer hunt with who's the one that invited me to go deer hunt? The one that says I like my chicken fried on Zach.
Zach Brown.
Zach Brown. Yeah, met him.
Is he the one that just got in trouble? Is that him?
No, that's Zach.
Zach somebody. Okay.
Brian.
Okay.
So anyway, so I'm sitting there, and we had a break, and everybody's meeting all the fans. Well, you know, I met them, so I'm just sitting there. Hmm. And I looked up, and it's just me and Taylor Swift sitting there. And we just started having a conversation, you know, and we talked, and I met her parents. They came up. Yeah. She had some of her other family there.
So this was before she was like a mega.
I think she was a star. I think, you know, yeah.
Before it all she, like it is now.
It was back when she was.
Trust me, there would never be a scenario now where you were sitting somewhere and it was just you and Taylor Swift.
It was me and Taylor Swift.
That's never going to happen again.
Ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed. There's going to be some beefy people between you and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, this is probably before she became the megastar, because when we went backstage, Missy's is like, well, who was that singer you were talking to? And I couldn't remember her name.
This reminds me a little bit about when, you know, this WFR men's retreat that we just had a year ago. There's this truck driver and his name's Richie. And I was happened to be preaching, and he had listened to this podcast, and he's driving down I-20, and he's like, it's a Sunday morning. He's like, something made me just turn the wheel. And he went down and he's like, if there's a place to park, I'm going to park and go in and hear this. So he did, and he comes over, and there's a park across the, you know, street there.
Yep.
And he parks, comes in, listens. I finish preaching. He comes down. He gets baptized. And so we've been kind of hooked up for a year. And so when I found out about this retreat, I'd never been to one. I didn't know anything about it, but I told him about it. Well, he's trying to get his schedule together and all that, and so he calls WFR and tries to get in and talks to somebody there. And he just as I'm telling you this, just the level of influence this podcast has across this nation. So he's driving, you know, incessantly up and down the road, listening to every word. And he calls in and he said, well, you know, I don't know if there's room. It's kind of already filled up. And they told him the women's retreat sold out in like 8 minutes. And he's like, he calls me. He's like, is this kind of like a Taylor Swift concert? Oh. Yeah. And it fortunately, he got in and it was a great weekend.
So he was there.
Yeah,
he was there,
it was fantastic.
By the way, I'll tell you a funny story. When she asked me who I was singing for, I didn't know what to say. because she just looked at me and made assumption that I'm inside the ropes.
You should have said Sons of the Pioneer. No,
yeah, or you're not Billy Gibbons, are you? You know, or something like that.
I thought she was being sarcastic because, you know, I mean, there was a little show, you know, but, you know, with ducks.
I mean, we're not Taylor Swift, but I mean, we did have a show.
So I actually said, no, I'm in the band. And she's like, oh, she's like, what instrument do you play? And I was like, I play the duck call.
There you go.
And she said,
crickets.
Excuse me? And then I said, no, we're duck people. I said, yeah, we had a little show. And she was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So that was that.
Apparently she was not a big fan.
You started with the, you know, the washed up bass.
She was busy building
to the jug, and now you've moved.
She was busy building her megastar career.
So I got a that's neat for all you Taylor Swift fans. I got a that's neat.
What do they call them, Zach? Is it Swifties? Swifties? Swifters?
I should know this.
They have a name for it. I'm not up on all my, but now that I know about Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like
I mean anything's better than Rotten Tomatoes.
This has been one of the most informative, nonsensical conversations I've ever had.
Larry just came on for a good Bible discussion.
Let's get to the Bible.
It feels like we're wasting a lot of time.
Hang on. Let's, before we do that, let's take a break. So one of our sponsors is a company called Fast Growing Trees, and we like these guys. Typically, trees don't grow fast, right, Dad? I mean, they take a little slower time for the woods.
Depending on the species.
There you go. You planted some cypress that the cypress are getting pretty big now, I noticed, though.
They are.
But it takes those a long time. What Fast Growing Trees does is they make trees that you can grow in your yard, sometimes as a barrier, better than a fence, is some beautiful trees. We got, Lisa and I got some palm trees for our southern lair from these guys, and they came. They were in great shape. They were ready to go. And, you know, you can call these guys. You can get whatever information you need. We love that. And so they have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, which means that you can trust everything will be healthy for years to come. It comes ready to roll. Listeners to our show, to Unashamed, are going to get 15% off your entire order when you go to fastgrowingtrees.com/Robertson, but only through October 15th. So it's 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Robertson, fastgrowingtrees.com/Robertson. Check them out. All right, so Larry, one last thing before we get to a Bible text. So you got bit by a spider.
Yeah, apparently.
That's the first thing I heard was,
I saw you
yesterday. I said, oh, there's Larry. He's preaching. Yeah. He looks like he's excited. Yeah. So Kellett says, yeah, he got bit like 15 times by a spider. And I was like, how do you get bit more than once?
I don't know.
Was this at the retreat?
I mean, I had like six on my neck, the back of my neck. Of course, the big one up here was the worst one. But after I got – this happened Thursday night. Friday morning, I get up, and I thought, well, you know, not that big a deal. About 4 hours later, this thing had just blown up, and it was marching, you know. And so I told them about it, and so they had
Did somebody come out and give you a shot, or
no? She came out and looked at it, and we decided it probably wasn't a brown recluse, but we didn't know what it was. And so
the fact you're still alive is.
But yeah, it's. Yeah. I'm thinking, well, there's 120 guys at this camp. I'm the only guy that gets bit, and I'm like, well, amen. You know, I don't know.
The message there is you're sleeping really well.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently. It didn't really hurt, but a Z-Pack and some, you know, antibiotics, and it was better. But I was thinking, you know, I'm preaching Sunday and then podcast Monday. And,
well, they were at a camp, and he did tell me at Camp Shioka that his bunk mate was burly.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's where the spider comes from. There's no telling what's living in the beard and hair of one dame burly Jim.
But he's an RN, so
he is a nurse.
It was great. He was, you know, I was a paramedic. He's an RN, and so anyway,
we're good to go.
But yeah, it's medicine really helped.
I think eventually we make it to Luke 13. But I wanted to, your sermon yesterday was so good. And by the way, you can find that WFRChurch.org when this comes out. By then, it'll be up, so you can go watch the whole thing. But you were from Luke 9, which we've already talked about, the Transfiguration. Mm-hmm. But it was just really, really rich and really, really good. And the idea that about transformation was what I found so powerful mm-hmm. about it. Of course, you were coming off a great weekend where yeah. a lot of people were transformed, no doubt about it.
Oh, my goodness.
They had a men's retreat.
Men's retreat. That yeah. they have in our community. It's not just our church. It's any churches, and like men come from the community.
Right. And we had a guy there from Canada. You know, I mean, it was crazy.
And FYI, if you want to listen to the sermon, carve out an hour.
Oh, my goodness. You know,
now look, I'm only saying that.
They all blame me because he has such a long text.
I'm going to make you feel better.
I like
better.
That, Larry.
I'm going to make That's you feel better. So I have my first church event of the year. I suspended all church events for the year because we're doing this podcast. I'm doing this show, and there was not enough days in the week.
Right.
But I could not say no to Hernando, Mississippi.
Oh, no.
Because that's right south of Memphis, and that's basically where our public ministry started. I mean, we've told this story before, but the first outdoor show we did after the second duck video, when we went to Memphis, Tennessee at a Ducks Unlimited meeting, the people for the first time in all our trade show experiences gathered up before we got there. And so I've always felt like that area has supported us. So I just couldn't say no. And I had about right at 600 men, and they had a man camp, kind of like what y'all did this past weekend. So this was Wednesday night, so just a few days ago. But it had been so long since I had spoken, and I got there, and just there was electricity in the room, and we kind of did the VIP meet and greet. I met a lot of these guys, and some of them came there with heavy hearts, and we had Bible studies and prayers during the meet and greet, turned into just kind of a spiritual strengthening. And so I was all wound up, and I looked down at my clock, and I thought I'd gone about 40 minutes, and I was like, all right, we got four more minutes. And then when I wrapped up, I realized that it had been another 24 minutes since I had said 4 minutes. Wow. So I went about an hour and 5 minutes, Man. So which I think it was good. It was just way too long.
Yeah.
And so then when you got up yesterday.
I went 45 minutes.
45.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go back and check.
But in your defense, they gave you not only the transfiguration, but about three more paragraphs in Luke 9.
So they assigned me 35 verses, the context of which is in the first 27. There's 62 verses in Luke 9. And so, and when I come back in December and preach, he's going to write me and say, okay, you got verse 36 on this, whatever
next
it is.
Time you get
one verse.
So a minute
and
per
I'll,
verse.
And I'll preach 45 minutes on it.
So you had a 10-minute introduction, and you gave each verse a minute. That was pretty good. That's a good, better way to look
well,
at it.
And also, in a case like this, this is what they call Return Sunday. So everybody's coming in. Mm-hmm. So other people speak a little bit about the retreat. And so it does pack a lot into a morning. But we were also trying to stay in our text in Luke, which you did a great job. I thought you dealt with the text exactly like you should have, fairly, but out of these atmosphere of Sunday morning as well as the weekend.
Yeah.
I just thought it fit so well.
I thought, that was my thinking. I had to write the sermon long before I got there because there's no time, but it just dovetailed beautifully.
It was very good. It was a couple of things I wanted to mention before we move to this other.
You got a page in notes. I saw you on the
front
row.
Did you see me taking notes yesterday?
Uh-huh. I was like, this is not going to go well tomorrow.
I ask them about anything controversial.
Obscure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. I had never thought about the idea that they were sleepy from sorrow.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting.
That's in Mark.
Because you had the case like in Gethsemane.
Right.
And so the idea there is you're thinking, well, it's late.
Why can't these guys stay awake with
Jesus? Exactly. And so, but you brought up the point because you pointed the context prior that, he had just told him about his death and what he was going to do.
Yeah.
But I thought about it even more so than you went into yesterday that we talk about depression. We talk about people when they're depressed, what do? They sleep a lot because it's hard for them to face.
A broken heart will make you take a nap. It really will. It's just, you just shut down.
Yeah.
Well, I take a nap every day, so I need some counseling.
Well, you got a lot going on. So
It may only be 10 minutes, but.
And you guys have been through some rough spots here lately.
We have.
Ever since that Taylor Swift discussion he's had, he's not sure how
he can. Right now,
Somebody's wanting to go take a nap. There's a couch over there.
He doesn't know how he can live with himself. Yeah. Let's take another break. So I thought that was really interesting. I made some notes about that for future looking, especially because there's so many people that suffer in sorrow and depression and from difficulty. And so I thought that was really good about how we get woke up. And then the other ones, you talked about the word metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. Tell a little bit about that, the background of that word and how that the other places you used it, which I thought was really powerful.
Yeah, it only appears four times in the New Testament in two texts on this transfiguration. And it's two Greek words, metamorpheo is the word. And so it's morphe, meaning form, or body, and then meta, meaning change. And so his form is changed. And so it's used twice to apply to that, what was happening on that Mount of Transfiguration. And then it's the other two times it's applied to us, that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Same verb describing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians, talking about as we gaze into the face of Christ and behold his glory, we are transformed into his likeness from one level of glory to another.
Yeah.
And so my point is that can people see Jesus living in you?
Yeah.
Because Jesus talks about salt and light and a city on a hill that can't be hidden. And I just think the greatest witness, you know, how do you have influence and impact? I want people to see Jesus in me when I'm walking down the aisle of the grocery store,
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be changed into his likeness to the point that people can actually see Christ oozing out of me,
And the other verse you had was where it's used is 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit.
Exactly.
That was your other verse,
okay,
which was very powerful, that idea.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, because we think, well, how different can I be? Well, there's evidence right there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What's a good point? I mean, you think about the movie that is Phil's journey to salvation, but what happens the next 50 years is that transformative process that's so progressive. And it's, I think a lot of people, they want that one and done, they think that come to Jesus and I'm done, but man, transformation is it's a lifetime journey. You look back at 50, 40 years, you're like, man, I don't even know who that guy was. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's what I love about it. Schaefer called it substantial healing or substantial sanctification, but it's the transformation that happens over a lifetime.
Exactly. And I mean, that was the theme kind of for this retreat was Acts 4:13 is that they recognize these two guys as common idiotes, it says in the Latin Vulgate, common idiots, ordinary uneducated men who had been with Jesus. There was something about them that they could recognize as Peter and John are speaking in that moment.
Oh, I remember even when I was studying about coming to Jesus in my own life, I remember reading that verse thinking, okay, there's a place for me here. I don't have to, because I never viewed myself as very smart. I'm just an ordinary guy.
Idiose.
But I was like, oh, yeah.
Idiote. It actually says idiote. It does say that.
Well, I've used that.
I was on a movie with Chris Anderson's movie, Bible Idiot, so I know what that means.
Well, I've used that illustration many times about now in our current culture, everybody has this, look into yourself and be what you want to be. And I actually made that point in my speech Wednesday because I saw a big billboard that said that be who you want to be. It was some advertisement for whatever.
Yeah.
And I heard an illustration that kind of changed my life on that is when you try to get your image or your identity in looking in yourself rather than what God thinks and getting your image there. When you think about it, the fault with that is, well, which version of yourself are you going to look into?
Right.
Because when I was 15, I thought I knew everything. Then I went, when I was 25, I looked back on my 15-year-old self and thought, man, what an idiot. Mm. But then when I got 35, I looked back on my 25-year-old self and thought, oh, I was just an idiot.
Right.
And then
I'm getting progressively worse.
When I got 45, I'm doing the same system. So I'm like, well, which person in myself am I supposed to go to? Because what I've pretty much figured out that at every point in my life up until now, I've pretty well been an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
That's exactly right.
It's not a road you want to go down. Yeah. I wanted to pick up my favorite point, which is so interesting that because you weren't in our podcast when we addressed Luke 9. But when we did the podcast on 1st and 2nd Peter, I was looking at the Greek word. You brought out metamorphosis?
Metamorpheo is the Greek.
Well, when you made the point in Luke 9 where when Jesus, now here he is talking to Moses and Elijah, who I don't know how many years ago they were on the earth, but it's been a while. Fact that you just have that statement, he's having a conversation. But you brought up the point, it says Jesus spoke about his departure.
Right.
And you gave the Greek word for that.
It's Exodus.
It's Exodus. Mm-hmm. Well, the only other place that's mentioned is in 2 Peter. Mm-hmm. And when Peter mentioned it, you didn't have time to go into this, obviously.
You referenced it.
I only took 45. If I'd have taken an hour and five, I'd have got her.
You'd have got into this. You'd still be talking. But when Peter did, I think this is very powerful. Mm-hmm. When he was talking about in chapter 1 and verse 13 of 2 Peter, he said, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And then in verse 15, he says, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, it's the same word.
Same word, Exodus.
Exodus.
Yeah.
You will always be able to remember these things. And then he talked about not following cleverly invented stories, when they told about
this
Lord
is
Jesus.
His testimony of this event.
He goes to the transfiguration. Yeah. Well, when you think about what the Exodus means, which I don't know why they don't just translate it Exodus, when you go back to Exodus, God's people, he liberated them from one condition, speaking of metamorphosis and transformation, and brought them out of bondage into a promised new land. And when you look at what Exodus really means in the Greek, it's not just departure. It also is an arrival. It's freed from something to something.
Exactly. It's a journey. It's
a journey.
It's not a death. A death happens, pretty quick. An exodus is a departure. As Jesus goes to the cross, and he's 3 days in the tomb, and he's raised, and then he's, all these resurrection appearances before the ascension.
40 more days. Yeah.
That's a journey. It's an exodus.
That's where I was going. Look, now as human beings, we focus on the departure, the death, and not so much the arrival. And it's both things. Mm-hmm. You think of that verse, we're liberated from the bondage of decay.
Right.
And so it makes you view death in Jesus way more positive.
It's
an exodus. This is a process that we're going to go through, but it's just as much about our arrival as because we have the Spirit of God into this imperishable, immortal state where we will spend way more time than we did on the earth.
Right.
And so it's not something that we have to be depressed about.
With Jesus, it was 40 days, but back in the original Exodus, it was 40 years.
Exactly. And this number of 40 is always kind of a time of preparation.
Right.
And that's the arrival you're talking about. But I think the Apostle Paul addresses this in one sentence. That process that we just described, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Exactly.
Well, and so here's that journey, and there's the arrival there.
Exactly. Well, that's what he's given us a glimpse into with the transfiguration. The fact that you're having a conversation with two men that we thought were long gone.
Yeah.
Well, that ought to tell you something right there. Yeah. I'm going to go with him. Whatever he's involved in, right, to be able to have this conversation, that's something.
Let's take our last break. That was, Larry, one of the things, another point that I thought was you talked about the two witnesses, mm-hmm, and how that you need two or three witnesses.
Right.
So you're talking about Moses and Elijah being that witness of who Jesus is, but right, then the third witness became the Father.
Exactly. Here comes
very
that third.
Powerful.
And this is what Jesus said: if I testify about myself, doesn't mean anything, but the Father's testimony.
Right.
And so, you know, when God comes and just stops everything with the weight of his glory and they fall flat and he says, this is my son.
Yeah.
And it's like Peter gets interrupted mid-sentence. First, he gets rebuked by Jesus for saying, no, not on my watch, you're not going to die.
Right.
Yeah. And then he gets rebuked by God the Father. You know, this guy's having a rough time here getting points.
But you painted that picture really well about Peter, because we talked about that too when we went through this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But in Luke even says, you know, he didn't really know what he was saying.
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of like he was just trying his best, right, bless his heart. So, but the idea that he was trying to establish, he was saying, let's do this right now.
Let's eliminate
that
the
was
pain.
Really good.
Eliminate the
that.
Suffering. I mean, here we've got, you know,
let's just build the tabernacles,
law, the prophets, and Jesus, you know, right here, and it's just total religion for him. And it's like, what's stopping us? Why do we have to go die? And I mean, Peter's such a tenacious guy, and his theology is pretty hardwired, and he's a defender. You know, he's a fighter, and I mean, he's the first guy to pull that sword.
I think that's why he mentions it in 2 Peter, is because it's almost a chance to go back and say, here's what I now recognize.
You know, and I love that, because how often in our theology do we go and look at something we think that we believe? I always say, be careful what you believe, because your beliefs rule over you. You don't really rule your beliefs. It's like stop, drop, and roll. You know, best time to think about what to do when you're on fire is not when you're on fire, it's before.
Right.
And he's walking through this theology and letting go of old beliefs, man. That's that transformation process right there.
Yeah.
It is like, okay, I don't know everything. It's like you just said, you know, when you're 15, when you're 25, when you're 35, and you look back, and it's what you're doing is reevaluating what you believe. We're in a battle over our minds. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if you believe something and you can't tell me why you believe it, it's probably dangerous for you to believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a really good point.
Well, you caused me to have a real interesting dream last night.
Really?
I did.
Okay.
So I don't know. Should I share it?
I don't know.
It's a little out there. We're all dead.
Okay.
And we're zombies.
Okay.
So here's what happened. And maybe it's because Zach keeps talking about this movie. So somewhere... I'm just getting influence. So I had a dream, and the fact that I remember it, I'm like, we need to have a movie about the zombie apocalypse, because there's thousands of movies about zombie apocalypse.
Right.
But they're always, you know, their guts are hanging out, they're bloody, everybody's terrified. But this was like, we were zombies, but we were showing the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
It was like the opposite of ugly, evil. They're wanting to kill people.
Right.
So all the we're like all trying to help people and be kind.
Wow. So we were good zombies.
It was good zombies.
Actually, you remember a Christian rock band, Audio Adrenaline? You ever heard of them? You probably never. Anyway.
No, but I've heard Audio.
But
and
they
I
wrote
have
a song called Zombie. Some kind of zombie. And this is the exact premise of that song, is that, and that's the visible manifestation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's already done. So make your movie and then call Audio A and
the music. Maybe get Taylor Swift, we'll attach her to it.
Maybe cover Zombie. Yeah.
But I was telling the producers in the dream, that movie that says your body is dead because of sin. Where's that at in Romans 7?
That you're alive.
Romans 8:10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. I was telling the producers, so this is the concept. You know, mm-hmm. we're zombies. I just read it.
Right.
But it was just crickets.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to make the movie we're all going to be dead, like the same. And you think, oh, here comes another zombie movie.
Yeah.
I said, but then they're
all. You had to walk like that when you're.
Yeah, you're walking around. You have to see the zombie.
You gotta hold your hands like.
But then cleverly, we're going to do good things and make the world a better place.
So they're getting ready to shoot us in the head, and they're like, wait.
They're like, well, no. Yeah. I mean, look, he's helping.
Yeah. No, I used a scripture yesterday, and I can't pull it off the location on the top of my head, but is that this transformation process that we're talking about earlier, Paul says that those of us who live, we are alive in Christ, are continually being given over to death so that his life will be made manifest in our mortal bodies. And that's that zombie that idea. Who is doing the giving over to death? Who do you think that is? We walk in the suffering of Christ, the fellowship of his suffering.
Yeah.
We're being formed into something. And one thing that you spoke to me earlier about, we're talking about these mountaintop experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The mountaintop experience is not intended to teach us anything. It's intended to make us something. Mm-hmm. And the true test of our life in Christ in us, the hope of glory, is not the ability to ascend that mountain. It's the ability to descend that mountain and come back down into that sinful, broken, fallen world and lift up.
Yeah, I wrote that down because
that's really what the gospel's all about.
That was the line of this.
Yeah, that Jesus came down from the mountaintop.
Yeah, and right there in the next day. The next day they come down and there's the demon-possessed boy.
I wrote down a song, but since we're out of time, I have to sing this in the overtime. So,
a song?
Yeah, if you want to hear this song that I wrote down from that one statement you just made, you'll have to come check it out in overtime. We'll have a little bit more with our friend LB, Larry Bowles, in overtime. Larry, it's always great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
BlazeTV.com/unashamed is where you go to find the overtime, so we'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.